So a lot of things are, how do we connect with other things, which is helpful for a way to connect to the deeper spiritual aspect of finding the Buddha heart wherever we look. We first have to just be with things, see things, experience things, and not just being lost in ourselves. And the first step is just to connect with things the way they are, instead of just being lost in our judgments of how we want them to be. Just like if you want to connect to others, what'll stop it is your judgments of how you want them to be, or how you think they should be, or wishing them to be, instead of just being with them and having compassion and sympathy for what's there. And that's why a lot of training is being mindful and trying not to get lost in our thoughts, lost in our feelings. You know, being aware of what we're doing, being aware of the mood, and being aware of the feeling, and actually learning just to see it for what it is. The real connection is not to get lost in that feeling, but just see it as a passing feeling, which in a way points us to being liberated from that feeling. If you're not aware of it just as a passing feeling, you kind of identify with it and you become it. Just like I can remember over the years, more than once somebody has talked about feeling like they don't connect to people in the Sangha at the Priory. And I look at them, and usually I'll kind of say, well, how interested are you in the other people in the Priory? And usually it's because, well, they don't show much interest in the others. And I go, well, it's hard to connect to others unless you show interest, unless you kind of appreciate their being there, unless you're grateful, unless you share something about yourself with them and have them share something about themselves with you. How do you expect to connect? What is a connection from? The connection from is when you're with them, you have to be with them, and that means be interested in them. Surprisingly, you know, they'll be more interested in you if you're interested in them. Well, if you're not showing like, oh, I'm not doing it, then it's amazing how you don't connect to them. And often this is a pattern that goes through the person's life, that they're, in a way, they don't feel connected, but they're not interested in anything. In a way, what they're mostly being interested in is themselves. They don't actually know it as that. They just are going through life being self-absorbed and then wondering why they're not connected to others. Often we're alienated from our own Buddha heart, which is a real alienation, by being caught up in ourselves. We actually aren't getting in touch with our Buddha nature, with this boundless heart that's there, because in a way, as long as we're just thinking of me, we can't find this Buddha heart, because the me is not the Buddha heart. The me is just one of the little windows into the Buddha heart, which is everywhere and is equally in the heart of whoever you're with. You know, the Buddha heart's as much as in Molly as in me, as much in everything. And when we aren't aware of things, we actually can look at things very judgmentally, and that cuts us off, because as long as we're thinking this shouldn't be this way, we're just blinding ourselves with the judgment. You know, just like if you think you shouldn't be this way, you blind yourself in the judgment and you feel guilty about things, and then you suffer, and then you're actually losing sight of your of what a deeper sense of connection, and you're not connecting either to others or your Buddha heart. All you're doing is feeling and seeing this judgment. But if you more or less, you can just see whatever it is, it's just a passing feeling, a passing judgment, a passing mood. You can see that it keeps changing. It's impermanent. It isn't you. This mood isn't you. This feeling isn't you. This judgment isn't you. And of course, you can say, what is me? Well, finding what is you is learning to, you find it by letting go of what you think you are, not by holding on to what you think you are. Because the more when you let go, you realize all these things aren't fundamental, and you start connecting in a deeper spiritual way with what's your real heart, which isn't being bound up in, wow, so much in Kinrei or whoever you are. And a lot of it is just seeing how the feeling and the mood begins, how it flows through and ends. And then you can actually not identify so much with that feeling, with that mood. That'll help you start cultivating just an acceptance. Because without that acceptance, in a way, when you're rejecting, you're not rejecting reality. You're rejecting finding the heart of Buddha. Because you can't find it if you don't have acceptance. The definition of what will help you find the deeper spiritual place is accepting and connecting to whatever's there. Whoever's around you, whatever you're experiencing. They're all gateways to the unborn, but you don't find it if you reject it. So you have to develop insight into how am I cutting myself off from things by saying, I don't want this reality. This person shouldn't be this way. I shouldn't be this way. Each time you say, I shouldn't be this way, you're cutting yourself off from the heart of Buddha, because all you're saying, there's good things there, but it's not here. Rather than just saying whatever's wrong is just something that's arising and passing and has no fundamental substance. Holding on, making these things so important, you stop being overwhelmed by them. Just like if you give an importance to making a mistake, you get overwhelmed by making the mistake. If you feel like, oh, anger is something awful, then you can be overwhelmed by it. Rather than just when you see it, it's just something passing. You can just say, okay, how do I deal with this? And how do I accept this? And realize the important thing is learning to accept it. Because in a way, practicing our meditation in daily life, doing the practice, is staying connected with the way things are, not as the way things should be. The way we are, not as we should be. I mean, you can have perception it should be. It would be nice to be better, the same way as if I cook something and it doesn't come out. It would be nice if it came out better, but it's fine. You know, just connect. It is what it is, and you let go of the judgment. It'll be what it'll be. And it's by not making a problem out of it, you can learn from it. And next time I make it, maybe I'll learn, okay, I should work harder not to burn this or be more careful how I season it or whatever it is. But you don't have to kind of get caught up in how things should be. You can accept this is the way it is. And when you actually stop holding on so much to how you think things should be, in a way, that sense of self, that strong identity of the self starts loosening and weakening. Because it's very much tied into the way we're connecting with the world through our judgments of how things should be and not connecting with them how they actually are. And enlightenment is going to be with reality as it is. It's not going to come from how we think it should be. Like when the world's doing better, when I'm doing better, that's the way things should be. While we have to actually realize, like, if you look at things, I'll experience some spiritual truths when I'm doing better. Well, actually, no matter how long you train, you could always be doing better. No one's ever doing as good as they can be because, you know, that's always the nature of things. If you look at it in those terms, you can always do better. Just like if I do something, I can usually see ways I can do it better. And when you push things away or grasp after it, like push away a feeling you don't like or blame yourself for it, in a way it's created, that's where the attachment comes. All you have to do is think, make a mistake and see how you relate to it. And you can see how you're making it important. Conversely, when you're open and connected to the way things are, the impermanence of everything becomes much more apparent, and non-attachment arises much more naturally. And we can see things freely and realize, in a way, we can see their emptiness. We can see the fact that they don't have the importance we give them. Just like when we're looking at something and we're just thinking, I shouldn't feel this, I shouldn't be this way, or they shouldn't be this way, we often become oblivious to much of reality and become kind of narrowed our focus and give an importance that isn't there to whatever it is. And we have a reactivity that's not good to whatever is going on. We also don't see how, without that acceptance, by having a mindless reactivity, which is allowing the anger to have an importance, the feelings have an importance, and not realizing, rather than working at letting them go and just seeing them as a passing experience, we give them an importance. We actually don't see the ways that we're cultivating the future in our minds. Just like if you hold on to worry, it's amazing. People will keep worrying, keep fearing, keep doing it. And as we train in watching this restless mind that keeps wanting to get caught up in worry, get caught up in fear, get caught up in desire, and we actually don't see the cause and effect of the fact that, in a way, it's disconnecting us from others in life. It's disconnecting us from being grateful. You're really worried, and you won't even be grateful for what you're eating. You'll be really worried, and you won't be grateful for some of the people around you in your life. You won't be grateful for lots of things because you'll just be worried and then wondering why you're suffering so much. And in a way, the mind of acceptance isn't trying to figure things out or knowing what's going on. The real acceptance is just coming from knowing right now it's like this. This is what's going on. It's cutting through a lot of this analytical mind and just kind of coming, okay, here I am. And in a way, it's converting a lot of that struggling. The fact that karmically, a lot of us are struggling with so much in life. And in a way, trying to convert that struggle, stop it, having a sense of peace. And then we can actually open our hearts and connect to things. Well, when we're struggling, we actually can't. But when we're willing to really be present with things, with a mind of acceptance, the connection can be there. And we can see the others as ourselves. We can just see the good, even the positive things that are in our life, the beauty and other things that are there that we don't connect to when we're lost in ourselves. Because in a way, modern life, and probably ancient life too, isn't really where people haven't cultivated this sense of acceptance. The world's full of people trying to stress of getting rid of this or trying to become that. Just like spiritual life can become this stressful thing in which you're trying to be something. Well, a lot of the work, it's not like you're not making an effort, but the effort is actually just, okay, how can I be at peace with this? How can I not react to this? How can I accept this? How can I just deal with this without making it into a problem? An example of this is you can have a feeling, and it's a way we build the self around different things. Just again, you can feel, you know, somebody will feel lonely, but you can actually learn not to identify with that feeling of loneliness and build a sense of self around it. You can just realize it's a fleeting feeling. Okay, now I feel this. Now I don't feel this. If I stop telling myself a story about it, all the rest, you can be at peace with it and it's not a problem. And you can be connected with other things in your life, even if there's not people around. You can feel a wholeness that's there, that isn't dependent on what's really around you. Because whatever you're around, you can. Why, in a way, if you hold on to just being a lonely person, that's a sense of alienation. When you just experience a sense of it, and you just see it for what it is, it actually is a connection to a common human experience that's all around us. And we can see it in others, and we can see it in things, and it's fine. It's not a problem. We can learn to start letting the self dissolve a bit by learning it's just something passing. Ajahn Viradharma, in this article I wrote, has a quote from Ajahn Chah. He says, if your meditation and practice makes you peaceful, accept it. If your meditation and practice doesn't make you peaceful, accept it. Because actually both will come up. It's not like there's anything that can create times that'll make you more peaceful, and at times it won't, because you're open to what's going on, and to really change it, you have to accept it first. You don't get rid of worry, you accept worry, and you let it dissolve on its own. You have acceptance of the worry. You have acceptance of the fear. You're not trying to get rid of the fear, you're just trying to accept the fear and trust that it has no fundamental importance, and it's going to come and go just like the weather. That's why when the mind becomes critical and judgmental, we just stay with it and just have patience. Just try to have acceptance and just wait. It'll come, it'll go. You're angry, it'll come, it'll go. All of you have been angry endless times, I suspect, in your life. Right now, as you're listening to this Dharma talk, hopefully you're not angry. Where did all that anger go? What happened to it? Are you fundamentally angry? If you are, you'd be angry right now. But you're not fundamentally angry. It's just something that came up and want. You have strong fear, strong desire. Where is it right now? What happened to it? But you can identify with it, and whatever you identify with it, where is it right now? And that's why a lot of training is just having patience that goes against the impulse of trying to control everything, trying to be something, trying to get rid of the desiring mind, the repressive mind, the judgmental mind, the impatient mind, and thinking all these minds are a problem, rather than just realizing they're just like bubbles popping up, you know, something in the stream, and they don't have any fundamental substance. They're just something appearing and disappearing. And if we just wait, it goes. Yet there's this normal human tendency to want to fix things, get rid of things, have things. And that goes against, you know, that's actually the second noble truth. Suffering's due to our clinging, due to our desire. We don't have to fix things. Just like a very normal question people will have is, how do I deal with fear, for instance? And you know, there can be all things to make us less fearful. But the most important thing is just, it's fine to be afraid. It'll come and go. It has no substance. Nothing's going on. You don't have to deal with it. You don't have to convert it. You don't have to get rid of it. You can just accept, I'm afraid now. Sit still. And then you get in touch with the part of you that's not afraid and realize it's just something that's appearing and disappearing. And there's a still place that's whole that you can find that's not afraid. And sometimes things are overwhelming to us and we go, well, what do I do when I'm overwhelmed? You just accept being overwhelmed and just have patience with and let it come and pass to see, and just try to be with that difficult state and just kind of realize it's like everything else. If you train with it, you'll get less and less overwhelmed, the less and more you see that it's just something passing. We can learn to be transform it and not be so caught up in it. And a lot of training, and the more we train, the more we can connect. A lot of our suffering comes out of really this feeling of disconnect, of being me, of... And the more you train, the less importance you give to your feelings, your thoughts, the less importance you give to really what's happening to you. The more you can get a sense of freedom and realize you're not being bound by this. Well, if, you know, the very thing of making what happens to you so important, which cuts you off from actually experiencing other things, you're lost in your own drama. You're lost in your own story. Like, oh, what's going to happen to me? You have to trust that you'll just deal with it step by step. And if it's something bad, you know, you'll deal with it. And you have to have the trust that it's okay. It'll be your practice and training. Just like I was talking to someone yesterday, we had a retreat, and you know, and often the idea comes up in for people is how to have a good death. And I kind of, you know, thought, actually, you know, we're training it. Hopefully our training can kick in and help us deal with the difficult circumstances of falling apart and dying. But on the other hand, it also doesn't mean what happens if I have some difficult karma coming up as I'm dying, strong feeling, strong memory, whatever it is, and lack of acceptance, all these things that could happen, and that'll be my training, and I don't know. It could come up, and that'll be fine. I'll have a hard time with something, and it's fine to have a hard time with something. Just like right now, something can come up, and I'll have a hard time with it, and that's okay. That's life. We don't control. It's okay to have difficulty at any point. And in fact, a lot of most of our progress and training is going to be dealing with the stuff we're having trouble with, the difficulty, not the stuff we're doing well with. And that same truth can come up when you're dying or you're getting ill or whatever. You know, I don't know. If I get a serious illness, I may have a hard time with it, and that'll be my training, and that's fine. I have to have acceptance that I really hate this.